Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Innal hamdalillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudhillala wa man yudlil fala hadiyala. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la. وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد. Then today, my brothers and sisters, it gives me great pleasure to be delivering this first lecture to our Muslims, brothers and sisters, predominantly in India, today, which is Saturday the 29th of January in the year 2022 in the Gregorian or Western calendar. The topic and the tremendous work that our noble brothers at Deen-ul-Sahih, which is the banner under which these lectures and these durus have been organized, meaning the religion, the correct religion, Deen-ul-Sahih, then may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them, because the topic that they have chosen, Manhaj al-Anbiya, which is the explanation of the book of the noble scholar, al-Shaykh al-Allama, Rabi bin Hadi al-Madkhali, hafidhahullahu ta'ala, the title of his book, Manhaj al-Anbiya, fi al-da'wati ila Allah, fihi hikmah wal-aql, the methodology of the prophets in calling to Allah. That is the way of wisdom and intelligence. The whole of this book, as it happens, walillahi alhamd, many years ago, going right back to, I think, 1996 or 97, that this book was translated by our brother, Al-Shaykh Abu Talha, Dawood Burbank, rahimahullahu ta'ala. So it gives us, truly makes us happy and gives us pleasure that we are able now to go through this book and explain this book to our brothers and our sisters, those of you who are listening online. So let us begin, inshallah, with the introduction of the book, which is the introduction of another great scholar of this age, the Shaykh, the Allama, Dr. Salih bin Fawzan bin Abdullah al-Fawzan, hafidhahullahu ta'ala. And inshallah, we'll try and get through as much of this introduction as we can in this first lecture, inshallah, so that our brothers who have agreed to deliver the rest of the classes in explanation of this work and in reading this work and conveying this work to you, that they will proceed with the rest of the chapters. So right from the very beginning, Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhahullahu ta'ala, that he mentions that all praise is for Allah. So he begins by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of the worlds, who has ordered us to follow his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and call to his way. And upon his, so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so he sends the salah and salam upon the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala extol the mention of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the highest company and send his blessings and peace upon him and upon his family, his companions, and those who truly follow the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam up until the establishment of the hour. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, he said that according to Allah, ad-da'watu ila Allah is the way of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his followers. And this is established in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَسِيرَةٍ أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي Subhanallahi wa ma ana min al-mushrikeen. Say to them, O Prophet, this is my call, this is my da'wah. Hadihi sabili, meaning that this is my way, meaning this is the path that I'm upon. And I call to Allah, ad'u ila Allah, ala basiratin, upon certain knowledge. I and those who follow me. Glorified is Allah, free from all imperfections. And I am not from the mushrikeen. I am not from those who associate partners in worship with Allah. So this is the da'wah of our Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And calling to Allah was the mission of all of the messengers and likewise their followers, to bring the people out of darkness into the light, from kufr into iman, from shirk, paganism, idolatry, polytheism, to take them out of that and bring them to tawheed, the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, and to remove them or to take them away from the path that lead to the hellfire and bring them to the path of paradise. This call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is built upon firm pillars and is established upon foundations that are essential and necessary. And if any of these are missing, meaning if any of these pillars, any of these fundamentals are missing, then the da'wah will not be correct and it will not bear the necessary and desired fruits. No matter how much effort is expended by the people and how much time they waste, their da'wah will not be successful up until it is established upon these foundational principles. And this is the reality of what we witness with regard to many of the present day calls, many of the various da'wat in our times that are not built upon these pillars and are built upon these foundations. These pillars which support the correct da'wah are clearly proven by the book and the sunnah, and they can be established as follows. So in that which follows, we find those principles and those foundations that are necessary for the da'wah to be established, the da'wah to Allah, the da'wah that guides the people out of darkness, from the dhulumat, to the nur, to the light of guidance, from the paths that lead to the hellfire, away from those paths, and to the path that leads to Jannah. The first of those foundations, the first of those pillars, is that a person must have ilm of that which he is calling to. And that is because the ignorant person is not suitable to be a caller to Allah. A da'i cannot be ignorant. He must have knowledge of that which he is calling to. As we have already mentioned in the ayah that has preceded, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَسِيرَةٍ. Say to them, O Prophet, this is my way, I call to Allah upon sure-sighted knowledge, basira. Me and those who follow me. Meaning not that the Prophet ﷺ calls to Allah based upon ilm, revelation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him. And likewise those who follow him, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And then likewise the generations that came after, up until Yawm al-Qiyamah, those who call to Allah, that they are upon basira. Basira meaning ilm, knowledge. So the caller is certain in his call, in his da'wah, upon his path to calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will face those who are the callers and the leaders and the scholars of misguidance. People who will attack him with doubts and futile arguments in order to rebut and oppose the truth. So a person must know how to deal with these calls that oppose the call of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that which is in the kitab and the sunnah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ and argue with them in a manner that is best. Bring them the truth. Confront their doubts and deal with them. Meaning that you are callers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you invite them. So when we invite them bil hikmah wa maw'idhatil hasana wa jadilhum billati hiya ahsan. That we invite them with wisdom. We call to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bil hikmah, meaning in accordance to the sunnah of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we admonish them in the best manner, and that we argue with them in a manner that is better. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned to Mu'adh ibn Jabal, that really emphasizes the importance of knowing and having knowledge. Knowledge of the da'wah that you are calling to. Knowledge of the creed, knowledge of tawheed, knowledge of the sunnah, knowledge of the kitab, knowledge of the sunnah. And likewise knowledge and having an understanding of those that you are calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he sent Mu'adh ibn Jabal to Yemen, he said to him, إِنَّكَ تَأْتِي قَوْمًا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. That indeed you are going to a people from the people of the book. So he knew who he's calling. He knows what to deal with. He knows what to invite them to. He knows their deviations and their misguidance. He knows what he's going to confront. So if the caller is not armed with sufficient knowledge for him to face the doubts, in fact, all of the doubts in his field of da'wah, he's going to confront people who will have oppositions to the kitab, oppositions to the sunnah, oppositions to the understanding of the salaf of this ummah, understanding of the sahaba, they will oppose it. So he needs to face these doubts and contend with every opponent. Then, if he does not have that ilm, and if he does not know how to deal with them, he'll be defeated in the first encounter and will be halted at the beginning of his path. So here, the importance of first building a foundation upon ilm, studying the books of aqidah, studying the books of usul, studying the books of sunnah, knowing the hadith of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, knowing how to apply them. And this is all taken from the scholars of sunnah. So studying usul sunnah of Imam Ahmed, studying sharh sunnah of Imam al-Barbahari, studying asl sunnah of the Raziyain, Abu Hatim and Abu Zur'a, studying Aqidatul Salaf Ashab al-Hadith of Imam al-Sabuni, studying the books of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, such as Wasatiyya and Hamawiyya and Tadmuriyya and other than them. Studying the books of Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, Kitab al-Tawheed, Kashf al-Shubahat, Qaid al-Arba, Usul al-Sitta, Thalat al-Usul. So a person is grounded, and likewise studying those books of hadith, studying, understanding the hadith of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such as Kitab al-Sunnah from the Sunnah of Abu Dawud, Kitab al-Sunnah from the Sunan of Ibn Majah. These are books and writings and original works from the early Salaf that a student of knowledge, the caller to Allah, must be equipped with, because all of these writings are rooted in the Kitab and the Sunnah. Secondly, that the caller to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he acts in accordance to that which he calls to. Meaning that you are not just a person who invites the people, but he doesn't act upon that which he is calling them to. You're telling the people to pray, but you don't pray. You're commanding the people to speak the truth, but you lie. You're calling the people to follow the sunnah of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but you are upon bid'ah. You call the people to piety, but you're a sinner. No, my brothers and sisters. Rather, the caller to Allah acts upon that which he knows, so that he'll be a good example. Qul hadhihi sabili. That's what the Prophet ﷺ was commanded to say. This is my path. Meaning I'm upon a path of sunnah and religion and piety. This is my path. So the Prophet ﷺ was already upon the path. And that's why Allah commanded him to say, hadhihi sabili. So he could say to the people, this is my way, this is my path. This is what I'm upon. I worship Allah. And Shu'aib, alayhi salam, said to his people, وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ أُخَالِفَكُمْ إِلَى مَا أَنْهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ إِنْ أُرِيدُ إِلَّا الْإِصْلَاحَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُ. I do not wish to forbid you from something and then do it myself. Rather, I only wish to rectify you as far as I'm able. So he would not forbid them from something and then do it himself. A da'iyah caller to Allah doesn't do that. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, and he commanded his prophet to say, قُلْ, say, O prophet, إِنَّ صَلَاتِ وَنُسُكِ وَمَهْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَبِذَٰلِكَ أُمِرْتُ وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Say to them, O Muhammad, indeed my prayer, my sacrifice, my living, my dying are all solely and purely for Allah, the Lord of the worlds. There is no share in any of that for other than Him. That is what my Lord has ordered me to do. And I am the first of those who submit to Allah as Muslim, as a Muslim. And likewise the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And who is better in speech than the one who calls the people to Allah, than the one who invites the people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he works righteous deeds, and then he says that indeed I am from the Muslims. So a person, who is better than that? We call to Allah upon ilm. We work righteous deeds and we don't just command the people to do righteousness and we forget ourselves. And then he says, indeed, I am from the Muslims. The third affair that Shaykh al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah ta'ala, he mentions is the importance of ikhlas, of sincerity, such that the da'wah is purely and sincerely to seek the face of Allah, not to show off, not to become famous, not for status, not for leadership, not for desiring the dunya. Because if anyone has this in his heart, or if that's what he desires in his da'wah, any of these other goals, then he will corrupt his da'wah. And the call will not be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, he'll be calling to himself. Or that he'll be doing it to gain something in the dunya. Wal-iyadu billah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs his prophets. Or informs that his prophet said to their people, La as'alukum alayhi ajran. I do not ask you for any reward for conveying this, meaning conveying this book. So the prophets never sought reward for that. We don't want dunya reward when we call to Allah. It is not fame or followers. How many followers do I have on Twitter or Facebook or YouTube? That is not why we call to Allah. We call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because we want the reward from Allah and we want guidance for the people. We don't do it for money. We don't do it for status. We don't do it for dunya. We don't want any of that. And whomsoever wants that, then his da'wah will never be successful. He will corrupt his good deeds and destroy the good that he wishes to achieve or claims that he wants to achieve. Fourthly, that the da'wah begins with the most important affair. Then that which is next in importance and so on. So what does he call to first? The caller to Allah, he calls first and foremost to the correction of the aqeedah, to the rectification of the aqeedah, the belief and the creed, by commanding that all worship is made for Allah alone, and shirk is abandoned, and he forbids shirk, idolatry, paganism, worship of other than Allah, such that worship is purely for Allah. So he begins with this most important thing. Then ordering after that the establishment of the prayer. Then the giving of the zakah. And then the rest of the obligatory duties that Allah has obligated and the prohibitions that must be avoided. And this was the method followed by all of the messengers. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ يَعْبُدُوا اللَّهِ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتِ. And we sent a messenger to every nation, calling them and commanding them that they should worship Allah alone, and that they must avoid everything that is worshipped besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was the beginning of the call of all of the messengers that were sent to all of the nations. And ni'budu Allah. That's what they began with. That's why Allah mentions that we did not send except a messenger to every nation. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in his book, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاعْبُدُونَ. And we did not send any messenger before you, O Muhammad, except that we reveal to him that none has the right to be worshipped, that he is to proclaim to the people that none has the right to be worshipped except for Allah. So make all of your worship purely for Allah. This was the beginning of the call of all of the prophets and messengers. Does that mean that they did not call to anything else? Of course they did. But this was the starting point. Because the prayer is of no benefit. The prayer is of no benefit except and up until it is made purely for Allah. And that there is no partners to be associated with him. Furthermore, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent Mu'adh ibn Jabal to Yemen, radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, indeed you are going to a people from the people of the book. So let the first thing that you invite them to, that you call them to, be the testification that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah. فَإِذَا عَرَفُوا ذَلِكَ. And if they acknowledge that from you, then inform them that Allah is obligated upon them the 5 daily prayers in the night and in the day. And if they accept that from you, then inform them that Allah is obligated upon them to pay the zakah. So this was the level of importance in da'wah. You begin with Tawheed. That those Jews, those Christians, those atheists, those Sikhs, those Hindus, those Buddhists, those secularists, that we invite them to worship Allah alone. Once they are worshipping the Lord and the Creator of the universe, of all of the worlds, of all of creation, that we call them to worship the Lord of creation. Once they establish that, then, and they acknowledge that, and they affirm that through the testification of the Shahadatain, that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, and they testify to that. And then they testify that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah and his slave. That when they testify to that, then you inform them, Allah has obligated upon you the 5 daily prayers in the night and the day. Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. If they accept that from you, then inform them that Allah has obligated upon them the paying of the zakah. So the best example of giving da'wah is to be found in the method of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the manhaj of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is the most complete and perfect methodology. In that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when we look at him, himself, he remained in Mecca in the early part of the da'wah, or in the beginning part of the da'wah, for 13 years after he received revelation. He received revelation at the age of 40. Then he remained in Mecca for 13 years up until he was 53. And throughout the whole of that period, when one looks at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Mecca, he called the people to Tawheed and he forbade them from shirk. And this was before he ordered them with the prayer and the zakah and the fasting and hajj. Because if you look at the 5 pillars of Al-Islam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam began his da'wah with the tawheed of Allah. Worship Allah. Abandon the worship of the idols. Don't worship these stone idols that you're worshipping. Don't worship the dead. Don't worship these, you know, these other gods that you have made up for yourselves. These aliha that you have made up, that you are worshipping besides Allah, abandon them. Worship Allah alone. He is your Lord. He is your creator. He is the one who gives life. He is the one who gives death. He is the one who sends down the rain. He is the one who brings the crops out of the earth and the fruit. Worship Him. Your creator. The one who created you. The one who created those who came before you. So that you may attain piety. Worship Him alone. This is what the Prophet ﷺ invited them to. Then just before his migration to Medina, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the night of the Isra, the night of the night journey and ascension into the heavens, Isra and Mi'raj, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam revealed to him were the five obligatory prayers. Then all of the rest of the pillars that were revealed to the Messenger of Allah after his migration to Medina in the final 10 years of his messengership. And yet, even in that period of time, he continued his call to Tawheed. So the Messenger of Allah ordered them with Tawheed before the prayer, before the zakah, before fasting, before Hajj, and before he forbade them from usury, fornication, theft and murder. The most important thing that he began with, when the revelation was sent to him whilst he was in the cave of Hira, was to invite the people to the worship of Allah and to purify themselves from shirk and kufr, paganism and idolatry, and everything that leads to that. The wearing of amulets, the belief in superstitions, the belief in evil omens, the belief in the power of the dead in their graves, ascribing power and divinity to the jinn, ascribing divinity to the angels. All of this the Prophet ﷺ forbade. And he called to the best of manners and the best of character. He called away sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from everything that would violate the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he began with Tawheed. Worship Allah alone. The fifth affair is that one must be patient. One must be patient in facing the difficulties encountered in calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is because the path of da'wah is not easy. It is not a path that is strewn with roses. It is not a bed of roses. It is not a path of roses and rose petals that you're walking upon. Rather, it is covered with hardships and hazards and difficulties. And the best example of this is the case of the messengers alayhimus salatu was salam. The harm and the mockery. Some of the messengers, they were killed. Prophets that were killed in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by their people, driven away, ignored, mocked. This is the path of the call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They suffered from their people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions with regard to the prophets, وَلَقَدْ إِسْتُهْزِئَ بِرُسُلٍ مِّن قَبْلِكَ فَحَاقَ بِالَّذِي سَخِرُوا مِنْهُمْ مَا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. Indeed, the messengers were mocked before you. They were mocked, made fun of, belittled before you, O Prophet. But those who mocked them were overtaken by the punishment, that which they used to make light of. So likewise, the followers of the prophets, some of that will come to those who call to Allah. That which came to the prophets of mockery and harm. How many of those who called to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were tortured, imprisoned, beaten and even killed? Why? Because they said, our Lord is Allah. That's why they were killed. Our Lord is Allah. That's why they were mocked. Our Lord is Allah. That's why they were imprisoned and ostracized and boycotted. Same reason why the prophets and messengers before us, whose example we take. So the followers of the prophets are met with the same harm and hardship in proportion to their effort in calling to Allah. The more that you strive in calling to Allah, the more that you invite the people to Allah, the more that you'll find opposition. And this is the example of the noble prophets, because the Prophet ﷺ said that those who are tried the most, those who are put to tribulation the most, are the prophets, then those who resemble them. The sixth affair is that the caller must always be of good manners, good character. And he must use wisdom in his call. Because it is his manners and his wisdom and the way that he portrays the message in terms of his character, his kindness, his concern, his mercy for the people, his compassion for them. This will become a means for them to accept the da'wah. Just as Allah ordered his two noble prophets, Musa and Harun, that this was the way that they were to call even Fir'aun, who was the worst unbeliever upon the earth, Fir'aun. He claimed lordship for himself. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Musa and Harun alayhim as-salam, فَقُولَا لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرُ أَوْ يَخْشَى. So Allah commanded them, and speak mildly to him. Speak to him mildly, that he may accept admonition or fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obey him. So Allah commanded them to speak to them قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. Speak to them. Speak to Fir'aun, you too, meaning Musa and Harun, alayhim as-salam. Speak to Fir'aun with mild words. So this is something that we should know in our da'wah. Being mild with the people, being gentle with them, not harsh with them. Allah the Mighty and Majestic said concerning his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَذًّا غَلِيذَ الْقَلْبِ لَمْ فَدُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. By the mercy of Allah, you behaved with them with gentleness. And had you been severe and harsh-hearted, they would have left from you and departed. And likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said regarding our messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَذِيمٍ. Indeed you, O Muhammad, are upon an exalted standard of character. So this is the way that we invite the people, with good manners. Prophet ﷺ said that I was not sent except to perfect the noble character. Don't let the people think or know or perceive from the Muslims that the Muslims are harsh-hearted. They have no concern, no compassion, no mercy. Because that isn't true anyway. A Muslim should be compassionate, should be merciful, should be caring, should be kind. He desires guidance for the people so that they are not destroyed. He desires guidance for their children and for his community. To save them, to bring them out of, by the permission of Allah, to bring them out of the darkness and into the light. أَدْعُوا إِلَىٰ سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَمَوْعِذَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنِ. Allah addresses the messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying to him, call them, call to the way of your Lord with wisdom, meaning with the sunnah, with the revelation, and admonish them in a goodly way, with maw'idhatil hasana, a good admonishment, and argue with them in a manner that is best. Seventhly, that the caller must remain firm in his expectation and hope for good. A caller does not despair. Subhanallah, we cannot despair. And we must not despair, those who call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He may look around him and think to himself, no one's listening. No one's following. No one's taking the admonition. We don't despair, nor do we stop. The aid of Allah will come, even if it comes after a long time, even if you don't see it yourself, even if you don't see it in your lifetime, it will come, and your reward is not lessened, so long as you strive in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, calling the people. And we have the best of example in the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nuh alayhi salam remained amongst his people for 950 years. Calling them. How many followed him in the end? Is his reward any less? He's from the Ulul Azam. He's from the Ulul Azam min al-Rusul. From those prophets and messengers who a messenger of firm resolve. He is one of the five. Alayhi salam. Even though Only a handful of people followed him. His own son was destroyed and drowned. And he gave da'wah for 950 years, yet he remained patient because he didn't despair. Our duty is to call and to invite the people. The guidance of their hearts is in the hands of Allah. We call them da'watul irshad. Or that we invite them with the da'wah of directing them and pointing them in the right direction, admonishing them with the book of Allah, calling them to tawheed. This is our job. Hidayatul irshad. The hidayatul tawfiq. Guiding the hearts that turn the heart to Islam and to Iman. And that is in the hands of Allah, not in our hands. When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was harmed, stones were thrown at him up until his body bled and blood seeped into his sandals and he was walking in his own blood. Then the angel of the mountain was sent to him by Allah, asking him, "Say the word, O Muhammad, and we will crush these people between the two mountains." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "No. I want to have patience and I wish to have patience with them. Perhaps from their offspring, Allah will raise the people who will worship Allah alone and not associating partners with Him." Look at this desire and look at this expectation of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he wants good for them. Even if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said to the angel, "Yes, destroy them," the angel would have crushed those people of Mecca between the two mountains. Yet the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not want that for them. He wanted for them guidance. So whichever call is not built upon these foundations, and whatever methodology is not from the methodology of the messengers, then it will fail. It will be toil without benefit. And the clearest of this example of da'wah and these da'wat, these calls that have failed and these methodologies that have failed and they continue to fail, is the modern day firaq. These modern day sects and jama'at call themselves jama'a fulan or jama'a kada. The group of, or the jama'a of this party or this sect and that sect. That they have set up methodologies and programs for themselves, which is different and in contradiction to the methodology and the manhaj of the Anbiya. These groups have neglected the importance of Tawheed, neglected the importance of Aqeedah, neglected the importance of the Usul of the Deen. And instead, they call to the side issues, to the secondary affairs. So one group will call for the rectification of the rulership and politics, and they demand for the establishment of the prescribed punishments, the hudud and the sharia law and so on. And this is what they demand, that everyone should judge by that which Allah has revealed. So this is what they make as the call, the core message of their da'wah. And we don't say that this is not important, because we say that indeed judgment is for Allah. And indeed we say that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when people differ, فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, if you differ in any affair between yourselves, then refer it to Allah and His Messenger. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَدَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. And know by your Lord that they will never truly believe up until they make you, O Muhammad, the judge in all of the disputes between them. And then they do not find in their souls any resistance to that which you have judged with, and they submit with a complete submission. This is what we call to. Salafis don't deny that. This is our call. However, where does it begin? It begins with Tawheed. This is where the true judgment and the law of Allah and the judgment of Allah and the command of Allah, this is where it begins, the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah alone is to be worshipped. That is the most important affair. So how can one Sheikh Fawzan mentions here in some beautiful words, how can one seek to establish and apply Allah's judgment upon the thief and fornicator before seeking to establish and apply Allah's law or Allah's judgment upon the one who worships other than him and the one who ascribes or attributes worship to others besides Allah? How can we demand that Allah's judgment be applied to two men disputing over a sheep or a camel before demanding that Allah's judgment be applied to those who worship idols and worship the dead in their graves, and those who deny or hold heretical beliefs with regard to Allah's names and attributes such as the Jahmiyyah or the Mu'tazila or the Ash'ariyyah or the Maturidiyyah, divesting them of their true meanings or distorting them? Which is more important? Tawheed? The Aqeedah? Or saying to the people, well, we're going to judge between you over the dispute of a camel or a donkey? Which is more important? Yes, we affirm that judgment is for Allah, and we do not belittle this affair. This is why the Salafi refers all of his disputes to the Kitab and the Sunnah, to the way of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and what they understood. And at the same time, the Salafi understands that the most important affair that we begin with in rectification and in terms of applying Allah's judgment is applying Allah's judgment with respect to the Aqeedah and the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are those who worship others besides Allah, those who hold heretical beliefs with regard to the names and attributes of Allah, those who deny the attributes of Allah, those who worship the dead, are these people not in greater sin than those who fornicate and drink wine and steal? Which of the two is worse? Ask them. The ignorant will, what will the ignorant one say? He won't know any better because he doesn't know the deen. Corruption of tawheed is worse than fornication. Corruption of tawheed is worse than drinking wine. Corruption of tawheed is worse than stealing. Those crimes of stealing and drinking and fornicating and so on, yes, they are sin. La shak, they are from the kabair. Major sins. But those are crimes against mankind, where a shirk and the denial of Allah's names and attributes are crimes against the Creator, the one free of all imperfections. And the right of the Creator has precedence over the right of the creation. That's why Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah stated in his book Al-Istiqama. So these sins alongside Tawheed, these sins that we have mentioned, the examples of them, that these sins along with correct Tawheed are better than corrupted Tawheed in the absence of these sins. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in his book, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah does not forgive that partner should be associated with him in worship, but he forgives whatever is lesser than that to whom he pleases. So which is worse? Shirk or sins? Shirk. How can you say that a person who is committing sins is better than the one, or that the one who is, that the one who is free from these sins, that he doesn't commit these sins, but he commits shirk, is better than the one who sins but he has tawheed? The one who sins and has tawheed is better than the one who commits shirk and he does not have these sins that we have mentioned, drinking and fornicating and so on. So we must understand the priority of the da'wah and where it begins and how it begins. Then we have another jama'ah, as they call themselves. So we have these jama'at siyasiyah, or these political jama'ahs. Then we have those jama'ahs that associate themselves with da'wah. They say that we are going out to make tabligh, and they affiliate themselves with the da'wah, like Jama'at al-Tabligh, for example. Their methodology likewise opposes the methodology of the messengers. Why? Because they give no importance in their da'wah to the correct tawheed. Rather, they give importance to the fadailul a'mal, to the actions. And even the actions, many of them, it is based upon bid'ah, weak and fabricated hadith. So they give no importance to the correct aqidah. Rather, they give importance to worshipping and practicing adhkar, dhikr of Allah, in the way of the Sufis. In the way of the Sufis, so even their dhikr. So they'll sit and they'll say, oh, we call the people to the dhikr of Allah. What do you call them to? That they sit in a room and they say, Allah, Allah, or Allahu, Allahu, Allahu. So even that which they're calling to is not from the sunnah. Never did the Prophet ﷺ sit in any gathering and just repeat the word Allah, 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 or Allahu, Allahu, Allahu. You will not find that from the Prophet ﷺ, nor the Sahaba, never. They would not take a single name of Allah like Ar-Rahman and oft repeat Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahman. You won't find that. So the da'wah is a da'wah that is built upon bid'ah. They don't call to tawhid, they don't call to the aqeedah. And then they concentrate on going out. They say, oh, we're going to make khuruj. And then they go around touring the lands for 40 days. And what is important to them is to attract the people, to gather the people, to increase their numbers. They don't care about their beliefs and creed. Rather, it is the last thing on their mind to rectify their aqeedah. Because they themselves are upon bid'ah in their aqeedah. They're upon misguidance. Upon the paths of Sufiyya, Sahawardiyya, Chishtiyya, Qadiriyya, Sahawardiyya. They follow the paths of Sufism. And they make intercession through the dead. And they make i'tikaf at the graves of the righteous and at the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All of these are innovated ways. And they take as their starting point that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or the messengers before him were not upon. This is just like the case of the one who seeks to cure a body that has no head. What are you going to cure? He's dead. How are you going to cure a body without and there's no head on that body, whose head has been cut off, since the place of the aqidah in the religion is like the head with respect to the rest of the body. So it is necessary for these groups to correct their concepts and their understanding by referring back to the book and the sunnah in order to know the methodology of the messengers in calling to Allah. For indeed, Allah, the one free of all imperfection, subhanahu wa ta'ala, has informed us that rule and sovereignty, which is the central part and the main thing that these jama'at al-siyasi are called to, politics, rectification of politics, rectification of the rulers, you know, gaining the seat of power, controlling and judging as they claim by the Sharia law. This is what they focus upon, but that cannot be achieved except after the rectification of the aqidah, such that worship is only for Allah. And the worship of idols is abandoned. The worship of the graves is abandoned. The worship of calling upon the dead and calling upon the dead and seeking refuge with them and seeking deliverance from them. All of that has to be abandoned. Superstitious beliefs. The building of shrines. Otherwise you will not achieve. They will not achieve rulership in the land. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in his book, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وعملوا الصالحات ليستخلفنهم في الأرض كما استخلف الذين من قبلهم ولا يمكنن لهم دينهم الذي ارتدى لهم ولا يبدلنهم من بعد خوفهم أمنا يعبدونني ولا يشركون بي شيئا ومن كفر بعد ذلك فأولئك هم الفاسقون. Allah has promised those who believe from among you and those who work righteous deeds that Allah will establish them rulership upon the earth, or Allah will grant them rulership upon the earth just as He granted it to those who came before them, and He will establish their religion for them, the religion that Allah is pleased with for them, and He will certainly change their situation or their state to one of security after their fear, providing that they worship me alone, يَعْبُدُونَنِي, and they do not associate any partners with me in worship. Then whomsoever rejects this thereafter, then they are the rebellious transgressors. This ayah is a clear proof that dawah begins with iman, right, having true faith and true belief, working righteous deeds, built upon the worship of Allah alone and the abandonment of the worship of everything besides Him. So these people who wish to establish this Islamic state that they keep talking about, before purifying the lands of shirk and the worship of the dead in their graves and devotion to the tombs and the shrines, then what they are calling to in reality is of no benefit. Those who worship the dead, those who worship the shrines, those who sacrifice to the graves, then this is no different to the Quraysh who used to worship Al-Lat and Al-Uzza, and the third of them Al-Manat. Indeed, in some ways it's worse, because in times of trial and difficulty, even those mushrikeen of Quraysh, they used to abandon the worship of idols in times of true calamity, and they used to call upon Allah. These people in times of calamity, they cling even more to the worship of saints and peers and the inhabitants of the graves. So they are attempting that which is impossible, which is what? They want the aid of Allah. They want the promise of Allah. They want the support of Allah. They want the victory from Allah. Yet they are not calling the people to Tawheed. Yet they themselves are not upon Tawheed, like Jamaat al-Tabligh and these Jamaat al-Siyasiyah, that they're not upon the correct understanding of Tawheed. That is not to say that we say that they are unbelievers. They are Muslim, but they are misguided, deviated Muslims who are under the threat of Allah's punishment because of these sins that they commit in calling to other than the way of the companions or the way of the Prophet ﷺ, who guided or who called the companions and raised the companions upon the Kitab and the Sunnah. Indeed, the establishment and application of the Sharia and the prescribed punishments, the establishment of the Dawla Islamiyah, avoidance of what is prohibited, and the achievement of whatever is obligatory, all of these things are from the rights of Tawheed and the matters which perfect Tawheed and follow on from Tawheed. So how can we give attention to that which is subsidiary whilst neglecting that which is of primary importance? And that is Tawheed, that is the Aqeedah. Sheikh Al-Fawzan, he mentions, and in my view, it is my view that the fact that these groups are at variance with the methodology of the messengers in calling to Allah is as a result of their ignorance of this methodology. And the ignorant person is not suitable for da'wah. They should not be giving da'wah. Since one of the most important conditions of da'wah is knowledge. Since they are not calling to the way of the messengers, it shows that they don't have knowledge. They are not fit for da'wah. Those who call to philosophies, those who call to the ideas of the Mu'tazila, Ilm al-Kalam, the Mutakallimun, and Falsafa, and false ideologies, and they invent for themselves their own methodologies. These people are not fit for da'wah because they don't have knowledge. So the most important qualifications for a caller is knowledge. Some of them, if you know those who call to Islam, if you ask them, what is Islam? They wouldn't be able to answer you. If you ask them, what are those things that nullify Islam? They cannot answer you. They would not be able to give you an answer. Ask them for the conditions of La ilaha illallah and they could not answer you. Tell them to speak about the Aqeedah for more than a minute and a half and they get stuck. Tell them, explain to me the three categories of Tawheed, and they're not able to do that. And this person is to be called a da'i? This is a caller to Allah. This is what we see from these jama'at and these sects which attribute themselves to da'wah. They are at variance with each other. They fight against each other for supremacy. Each group laying down for itself its own methodology in contradiction to the other groups. Each of them, all of them misguided. And this is the inevitable result of contradicting the methodology and the manhaj of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the way of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Why? Because their path was a single path. وَأَنَّ هَذَا سِرَاتِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبَلْ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ أَنْ سَبِيلِهِ. So the followers of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is what they were upon. وَأَنَّ هَذَا سِرَاتِي مُسْتَقِيمًا. This is my straight path, so follow it. And do not follow the other paths. for they will split you away from his straight path, meaning the straight path of Allah. Those who contradict the path of Allah and oppose this straight path that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his Sahaba were upon, then they're upon misguidance. Because the path of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is one path. These groups, they are a threat to Islam. They are not an aid to Islam. They do not aid the da'wah. They do not aid the religion. They do not aid the Muslims. They are a threat, these jama'at, or these firaq, which is the right title for them, these sects. They are a threat to Islam. And they are an obstruction to the da'wah. They prevent people from entering into the true understanding of Tawheed. And this is something that our scholars have explained, and it must be explained and made clear. Allah forbids this splitting away from the Kitab and the Sunnah, splitting away from the path of the Sahaba. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيَعًا لَسْتَ مِنْهُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ. Those who divide up their religion and they break up into sects and parties, you, O Muhammad, have nothing to do with them in the least. So since the explanation of this is an obligation, meaning it is obligatory to clarify the straight path, obligatory to clarify the manhaj of the Anbiya and the Rusul and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum kadhalik likewise, then it is binding upon the scholars to make that clear. And the scholars did make that clear. And a group of the scholars, having sincere concern for Islam, Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, and the required level of knowledge and the research, they took on the task of clarifying the mistakes of these groups and explaining where they are in variance and in opposition to the da'wah and the manhaj of the Anbiya and the manhaj and the methodology of the prophets, so that they may return to that which is correct. Indeed, the truth is that which the Muslims always should seek, so that they do not fall into error and not be beguiled by error and not to be deceived by the callers to misguidance. So from these scholars who took on this great duty of acting upon the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ad-dinu nasiha, ad-dinu nasiha, ad-dinu nasiha, that the religion is sincere advice, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the religion is sincere advice, the religion is sincere advice, saying that three times. So the companion said, liman ya Rasulullah, to whom, O Messenger of Allah? He said, to Allah and his book and to his messenger and to the rulers and to their common folk. From those who explained this matter and gave sincere advice about it is the noble Sheikh, this is the words of Sheikh Al-Fawzan, is the noble Sheikh, Dr. Rabi' bin Hadi Al-Madkhali, in his book entitled Manhajul Anbiya Fi Da'wati Ila Allah Fihi Hikma Wal Aql, the methodology of the prophets in calling to Allah, that is the way of wisdom and intelligence. For he explains, may Allah grant him success and reward him with good, the methodology of the prophet in calling to Allah, as is shown in the book of Allah and the sunnah of his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he, meaning Shaykh Rabi'ah, he presents the methodologies of the deviated groups in light of this methodology of the messenger of Allah and the methodology of the Anbiya, in order to show the difference between the methodology of the messengers and these differing and variant methodologies that are in opposition to the Manhaj al-Anbiya. He discusses these methodologies in the scholarly way and in a just manner, whilst quoting examples and witnesses to what he says. So his book, and all praise and thanks is for Allah, accomplishes the goal and is fully sufficient for those who desire the truth. And it is a proof upon those who are stubborn and obstinate in opposing what is correct. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward him for his work and to cause it to be of benefit. And may Allah send praise and blessings of peace upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family and his companions and his true followers up until Yawm al-Qiyamah. Written by a Sheikh Saleh bin Fawzan al-Fawzan hafidhahullahu ta'ala, from the great scholars of our time. So this is the introduction to the book that you'll be studying inshallah over the next few months, Manhajul Anbiya, or the methodology of the prophets in calling to Allah, by Shaykh Rabi' bin Hadi al-Madkhali. So upon that note, inshallah, we'll finish for today. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us upon straight guidance, to keep us upon the straight path, to keep us upon the Sirat al-Mustaqim, to keep us sincere in our obedience to Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.